Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Narches Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, The Global Casino: How Wall Street Gambles with People and the Planet by Ann Pettifor, is a work of political economy aimed at explaining how global finance operates beyond normal. Democratic control. Pettifor, a British economist associated with Keynesian monetary analysis, Jubilee 2000, and Green New Deal advocacy, focuses on the offshore shadow banking system and the institutions that channel global savings through it. The book presents financial markets not as neutral allocators of capital, but as powerful systems of speculation that shape the cost of living, public budgets, ecological policy, and social stability. Its purpose is both diagnostic and political to show how asset managers, private equity firms, pension funds, sovereign wealth funds, banks, and central banks interact within a system that repeatedly transfers risk to the public. Pettifor argues that governments have regulated finance before and can do so again, especially if societies are to confront climate breakdown and economic insecurity. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, offshore shadow banking as the hidden architecture of global finance. A central topic of the global casino is the offshore shadow banking system, which Pettifor presents as the core infrastructure of contemporary financial power. This system is not simply a collection of obscure tax havens. It is a network of institutions, legal jurisdictions, balance sheets, and investment vehicles that move money beyond ordinary public scrutiny. The book emphasizes the scale of this world, citing financial assets of around $217 trillion held in markets that often sit outside the reach of national tax authorities and democratic accountability. Pettifor links this structure to asset managers, private equity firms, pension funds, and sovereign wealth funds, all of which manage savings on behalf of households, workers, and states while exercising immense discretion over where that money goes. The important point is not only that wealth is hidden, but that decision-making is displaced. Elected governments face pressure from mobile capital, while unelected financial actors influence credit conditions, investment priorities, and public policy. Pettifor uses the idea of a casino to underline the instability created when vast pools of capital seek returns without corresponding public responsibility. Secondly, speculation in commodities, housing, pensions, and energy as a cost of living mechanism. Pettifor connects remote financial markets to the daily pressures experienced by households. The book argues that the cost of living crisis cannot be understood only through wages, taxes, or consumer demand. It must also be traced through speculative activity in markets for essentials. Commodities, energy, housing, and pensions become financial assets, meaning their prices are shaped not only by supply and need, but also by investor expectations, leverage bets, and the search for yield. This matters because ordinary people cannot opt out of these markets. They need heat, food, shelter, and retirement income, so volatility in financialized markets becomes social vulnerability. Pettifor treats speculation as a mechanism that amplifies price swings and transfers uncertainty downward. When investors move rapidly into or out of energy contracts, property assets, or commodity positions, the consequences appear as higher bills, unaffordable rents, unstable pension values, or public pressure for subsidies. Her argument challenges the view that inflation and affordability are purely domestic policy failures. Instead, she shows how globalized finance can turn basic needs into sites of extraction and instability. Thirdly, public rescue of private risk and the failure of market discipline. The Global Casino places strong emphasis on the contradiction between free market ideology and repeated public rescue of financial institutions. Pettifor argues that major financial actors are often described as risk-taking entrepreneurs, yet when their bets threaten systemic collapse, central banks and governments step in to stabilize markets. This creates a pattern in which gains are privatized during booms while losses are socialized during crises. The issue is not merely unfairness, but distorted incentives. If large institutions expect liquidity support, emergency lending, quantitative easing, or public guarantees when markets break down, then the discipline supposedly imposed by markets becomes unreliable. Pettifor links this dynamic to the 2007 to 2009 financial crisis and to later episodes of market stress, where public authorities acted to protect the financial system from its own instability. Her critique is that society has accepted the power of finance without demanding equivalent obligations. The state is not absent from financial capitalism. It is deeply present as insurer of last resort. The political question, therefore, is why public power should stabilize private speculation without also setting public conditions. Fourthly, democratic control of money through Keynesian and historical precedents. Pettifor does not present financial globalization as inevitable. A distinctive feature of the book is its insistence that finance has been governed before and can be governed again. Drawing on Keynesian monetary thinking, She treats money and credit as public and institutional arrangements rather than natural market forces. This leads to a different policy imagination. Governments can shape the terms under which credit is created, capital moves, and investment is directed. The book points toward tools such as financial regulation, capital controls, taxation, central bank mandates, and public investment strategies. Though its emphasis is on the principle of democratic authority rather than a single technical blueprint, historical precedent is important because it challenges fatalism. Periods of tighter financial regulation, managed capital flows, and stronger public oversight show that global markets are not beyond political choice. Pettifor argues that the obstacle is less technical possibility than political will and ideological constraint. By framing money as governable, the book contests the assumption that elected governments must adapt to whatever global investors demand. Democratic control becomes a practical requirement for economic stability. Lastly, climate breakdown as a financial governance problem. The book links the climate crisis to the organization of finance, not only to technology, consumption, or industrial policy. Pettifor argues that the transition away from ecological breakdown requires control over investment flows, because the scale and direction of credit determine what societies build. Extract, subsidize, and abandon. If global savings are governed by short-term return-seeking, then capital may continue to support fossil fuel assets, speculative bubbles, and carbon-intensive infrastructure even when public goals require rapid transformation. This is where her work connects with Green New Deal, thinking climate policy needs public financing capacity, democratic planning, and limits on destabilizing speculation. The biosphere collapse framing also broadens the argument beyond emissions alone. Financial markets can accelerate ecological damage when they treat land, energy, housing, water, and food as assets for yield, rather than as foundations of collective survival. Pettifor does not suggest that financial reform alone solves climate change. Rather, she argues that climate action is blocked if societies leave capital allocation to institutions whose incentives are detached from ecological limits and democratic accountability. In conclusion, The Global Casino is best suited to readers who want to understand the political structure behind financial instability, rather than only the technical language of markets. It will be useful for students of political economy, policymakers, climate activists, journalists, trade union researchers, and general readers trying to connect rising living costs with global financial arrangements. Its practical benefit lies in clarifying why crises in energy, housing, pensions, public debt, and climate finance are not isolated failures. Pettifor shows how they are linked through a system that gives private financial actors wide freedom while relying on public authorities when risk becomes unmanageable. Intellectually, the book offers a Keynesian and democratic alternative to the idea that global markets are too complex to govern. Compared with many books on finance, it stands out by joining three usually separate debates: offshore shadow banking, cost of living pressures, and ecological breakdown. It is less a narrow market history than a political argument about sovereignty, accountability, and the allocation of credit. Readers looking for highly technical modeling may find the treatment broad. But those seeking a clear map of why finance matters for everyday life and planetary policy will find the book especially valuable. If you would like to support Anne Pettifor, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.